The following presentation was recorded live by Voices from Jerusalem.
So number 7 on this list is Ba'anava. If you want to live, you've got to have humility. You have to be humble. How does that sound?
Well, look, this is disturbing today. But let's see. How many people think that other people should be humble? That humility is a virtue? Come on, put up your hand. Oh, that's for other people, it's great, right? But there's something about it that we don't exactly cotton to, yeah? Okay, so let's try to understand. First of all, let's focus on this point. You see, humility happens to be a great virtue. In Judaism, we say, if you have humility, you're guaranteed to have charisma. Charismatic. You know what charismatic is? Everybody, you walk into the room, everybody says, who's that guy? Yeah? Wow. How many people would like charisma? You don't want to be charismatic? Come on. Hey, you people are humble. You don't want to be charismatic. So, the rabbis say he who is humble must attain ultimate greatness. The crown of Torah is his. It's like water goes into a depression, so does wisdom, meaning go into a man who is humble. Guaranteed. All right, so let's focus on this. Everybody thinks that humility is a virtue. And yet, if you ask yourself, if the most humble man in this world, if we knew that he was coming, we got an advance notice, what do you expect to see? Yeah.
Even if he's physical, when you walk near, you wouldn't.
So you expect to see an ordinary person, nondescript?
Yeah, you wouldn't notice.
Nondescript, you wouldn't notice him. What do you say? Would you expect him to walk in with his head tall or bent down? Would he say hello? Or would he say, pardon me? Would he say, am I disturbing you? Would he say, how are things going? Which would he say? Now let me focus your attention. You know who the most humble man in this world was? Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moses, who went into Pharaoh and said, let my people go. We're going to Brezhnev, you understand? And say, hey, friend, you want trouble? You better let them go. Yeah? Now, how come? What is the problem? On the one hand, we think that he says, pardon me. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, pardon, timid. You know, he smote the Egyptian. He said, evil one, why do you raise your hand on your neighbor? Yeah? And he spoke up. What would a humble man do if he's seeing one man fight another? So what is this, a contradiction? We have confusion. That's what I'm focusing your attention on. Humility still has a reputation of being a virtue. At the same time, it has a bad PR. Yeah. Not for us. We're more into machoism. Yeah. That's the image for today. The hard-driving, successful young man. Yeah. Now, in order to understand what we're really after, in Judaism we say clarity, definition. What is humility? Would anybody like to give a try at that? Go ahead.
Thinking you're worth nothing, you're just a speck of dust compared to God's greatness.
Pretty good. Says you're worth nothing, a speck of dust compared to God. Right? Does he know anything? He can know everything. That's terrific. But it means he doesn't put himself higher. But he knows more than anyone else. He's tougher than anyone else. He's got the power. Then what does it mean he doesn't put himself higher than anyone else?
Doesn't take advantage of it.
Okay, so the definition of humility is that there is nothing that counts except meaning. Not afraid of Pharaoh, of a crowd. Just what is meaningful? If meaningful is to walk into a room and say, how are you people? He does it very naturally. Because he's not afraid maybe they'll reject him. Big deal. You know, that's the right thing to do. He does it with a flair. If somebody is hitting someone else, what's the right thing to do? To interfere, to stop him, then he stops him. That's the right thing to do. That's meaningful. But then what will they think of him? And he might get into trouble. It's the right thing to do. Who cares? Nothing else is important. Freedom to do what's right is if you don't care about yourself. Perhaps what will focus your attention better than anything else is arrogance. We can understand very easily. Arrogant is a guy who says, I'm all that counts, nobody else counts. Don't bother me with what's right and wrong. This is what I want. That's arrogance, right? Humility is the other aspect. What's the difference? What happens to me? What counts is what's right, is the right thing to do. Now, do we see that that is charisma? That anybody walks in, even though he didn't do a thing. People will see this is a man, a presence, heavy, guaranteed greatness. Don't see it yet. But let's look into this guaranteed greatness. It's a tough way. Let's look into it. How do we go about it? So number one of how do we go about it, to focus you into the problem and to how difficult it is in our generation, I have to ask you to consider for a moment and ask yourself, are you living to eat or are you eating to live? Is the point of my life how many chickens I'm going to demolish before I die? Or is eating just a means and I'm really eating to live? Now everyone is going to answer that. Well, you know, that's an insult. But at the same time, ask yourself the next question. So what are you living for? Do you realize that most of the time you're going to college, you're preparing for money, for food, for success, which is necessary. You've got to eat, yeah? But most of the time, this is what preoccupies you. So to focus your attention as to how alien that really is to us, I would suggest, think for a moment, if you were given all the money you can possibly use, $100 million, yeah? On one condition, no work, no study. All that you got to do is play golf, basketball, swim, eat, sleep, and read junk novels. And the Time magazine and the Newsweek too. Right? Okay. Now, how long do you think you will survive? Think it through. All the goodies that you like to do, you know, that you reward yourself with.
Yeah, the first week, the second week, great. Yeah, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and now about half a year. And what are we going to do today? Well, we got to go out and play golf. Yeah.
Is that what life is about? On your own, check it out. You see, it's important that you feel that there is this ultimate plastic goal is a terrible thing. It's not what we're living for. All right, then take it a step further. Number two is, see what happens in this world. You ask a young guy, he just got his job, his first job as a lawyer, as an engineer, as an intern, right? You ask him, friend, are you living to work? Not living to eat. Are you living to work? Or are you working to live? Now, who in the world is going to say I'm living to work? What am I, a robot? You know? My life is making briefs. I'm a lawyer. Don't be silly. I'm working to live. Okay? Second scene. He's 65 years old. He retires. He's made his bucks. He goes down to Miami. And he's really going to enjoy life. And he's golfing. And he's swimming. And he sleeps late. And he's talking to the neighbors. And right, man, 6 months later, he's back in the business. Right? He's living to work again. Because he needs meaning. Is this recognizable? Is this what happened? What the heck? What happened, friend? You know, you're working to live, so now live. Yeah, but I got to work. What happened? So step number three is I'll explain what happened. You ask a young man. You say, look, friend, going to college?
Yeah.
Why are you going to college? Well, what do you mean? You gotta get a degree. Right? Why do you need a degree? What are you talking about? You gotta get a job. Why do you need a job? You got to buy food. Why do you need food? You got to eat. What do you need to eat for? Well, you got to live. But what are you living for? I got to go to college. Wait a minute. Do you understand? We human beings can get distracted. Each step is necessary. You got to get a job. You got to get a degree. But then we stop. We don't take it the next step. We get distracted. So when we finally get to the working stage, I get a job. Now I got to get money. Now here I'm eating. So we look for work that we hope is meaningful. Right? I got to get work that I enjoy, that is constructive, that is creative, that expresses me. Because what else have I got to do? I got to work. I got to make the work my life. But I'm not living to work. But it's got to be meaningful. Do you see how we get involved in this, sucked in, because we don't take it the next step? What are we living for? All right, so number four is, let's give a little bit of a cast. What are we really living for? What is it that we really want? And again, I'm focusing you on where you are. And I would say most Americans of college age, who are into college, who are looking for a career, think of their career as a way of expressing their idealism. If they're going to be a lawyer, they're going to help humanity. They're going to get poor people off the hook. If they're going to be a doctor, well, of course they're helping humanity. They're going to cure human beings.
Then you're looking for work.
That's true. They're looking for the meaning in their work. Yeah. If you want to help humanity, why not help the kid in your college dorm? You know, before you get your degree. Isn't he part of humanity? How about your brother who's in trouble? The point is that they want to give the meaning to what they're going to do. Yeah. But if you know that you are an idealist, you need meaning, then recognize it. What is meaning? Help humanity. A cause. Save the whale. I bet you everyone over here would give a year to save the last whale. Yeah. Because it's meaningful. Whales are, you know, it's part of living this. If we don't have no more whales, wow. Yeah. But there is a truth to it. There is a truth to it, but we're looking for something meaningful, a cause. Something beyond our narrow life, our eating. We need something more. Okay. Number five is that realize we human beings need meaning. And meaning is not in how much you weigh. Every human being, and you fellas are young, but everyone who's a little older, there's been a point in your life when all of a sudden it hit you in your stomach, so what? Well, so what? So I succeeded, so I got my degree, so things are going well, but what does it add up to? It takes away your breath. It's a very sick feeling. It can be in the middle of a circus, so what? But you want to get distracted. You know, our natural reaction is, that is a very scary question. So what? Because without meaning, we can go right off our rockets. So let's do something. Call up a friend. get active, busy. Let's fix the car. Let's take a drive. Move. Distract yourself. There's something in us that says, get yourself a package of meaning, friend. Otherwise, you failed your life. All right, so number six is that, look, we have a clue. It's in our bones. And the clue is that every one of us realizes that you should do the right thing because it's right. And they hang with the consequences. Every human being has got this imprinted in them. Should you save a human being because people will applaud? That's awful. Yeah? Save him, he's dying. Yeah? Well, because you'll get recognition, reward, you have a picture in the paper. That's terrible. Because you're going to go to heaven? Come on. We know it's for its own sake, that's it. Any other cause, any other reward, you want to get to heaven. In Judaism, we say you do it to get to heaven, you're a bum. Yeah? It's all right. You'll get reward. The Almighty pays you anyway. Yeah.
Degrading. Do the right thing because it's right. So the right thing is meaningful. Do you see that?
But let's take it a step further. And number seven is, what about if the President of the United States say, you know, vote for me? Because I love to lie around and Air Force One. I love that plan. Vote for me. I just love the attention I get wherever I go. Please vote for me. Yeah. I mean, you'd say, boy, that's refreshing. Let's give him the vote just for that. But
but you can't do that. What does he have to say? Vote for me. I really love this job. But the important thing is I want to serve the people.
That's the right attitude. I want to serve the people. I can help the people of the United States, and I'm going to do it no matter what the personal consequences, even if they put me down in history as a bum. I'm out to help you people, and I know what to do.
So you've got to do the right thing, no matter what the consequences. That is right. We have this in us. We have this recognition. That's meaningful. That's what should be done.
I mean, you say it's natural to want recognition. It's natural. I understand, right? But do you also notice it's natural to hug your pillow in the morning and to cling to the mattress for another hour and another half an hour and another hour? It's natural. Yeah? But thank God we have a sense of reality and we say, this is no good. I want to get moving and I'll accomplish something in this world. Yeah. We're not talking about it's natural to be humble. We're talking about it's good. Wake up, throw away the pillow, and realize you need meaning. Go out and get it. It's delicious. But it takes a little effort.
Yeah.
How come the force of arrogance usually beats out the force of doing the right thing if it's so strong?
Because it's natural. The force of arrogance is natural, like he says. It's unnatural to use intelligence. It's unnatural to use your perceptions of reality. It's just natural. A child thinks that the whole world belongs to him. It's a baby comes up that way, you know. If you put your nose near his mouth, he'll bite it. You know, and if he doesn't get his milk bottle exactly when he started feeling the urge to eat, then he'll start yelling, he'll shake the house, yeah. What do you mean? What's going on around here? You know? I want to be fed. But little by little, we sort of learn to control ourselves and to find out what is really meaningful about existence. It's not natural to do this. Naturally, we sleep, and naturally, we doze, and naturally, we're self, and naturally, we're arrogant. Most kids and most adults, unless they break out, are barbarians. They look at the world as there to serve me and everybody else as an object. Yeah? In Judaism, we say the first step in civilization is marriage. You start thinking of we. Yeah? It's just a natural thing. It's the first step. But at least you have to have if somebody who appreciates civilization so that when he gets married, he starts thinking of we instead of that's my wife, you know, or that's my husband. How do they serve me? Now we're up to number eight. Realize, you see, there is an innate confusion that's going on in us. So let me explain to you, you see. Somebody who has pleasure in saving another human being, I saved a life. He has pleasure in doing the right thing. That's a good man. Somebody who does the right thing because of getting paid for it, of a separate material or even spiritual pleasure is wrong. You should have pleasure in doing the good in the good itself. He who takes pleasure in doing the good and the pleasure of the good, that is natural, that's meaningful. That is what existence is about. He who does the good, the meaningful thing, because of a, he doesn't see the good, but because of a accidental pleasure, he's off track. The Zohar says that he who has done something of merit, no matter how great his merit is, if he speaks about it, he's lost his merit. What was that? I'm sharing. Look, friend, humility is power. Use the power. I'm trying to give you life. If I would go around saying, you know, I try to give these people life, give them potential, and sometimes I succeeded. Ah, what pleasure it is. That's what would be doing it. Yeah? Look, friends, get meaning, wake up. Let's live. This is the effort to give life. Sometimes successfully, sometimes not. So, this isn't, I'm telling you, this is, oh, you think that I'm telling you my insight, you know, I've discovered the meaning of humility? No, I'm sharing with you our heritage. Do you understand? This isn't my creation. This is Torah. This is our heritage. Well, certainly you should share pleasure. I mean, you say, hey, it's a beautiful day. It's great to be alive. Yeah? That's great. It's when you're looking to make a score. If you say to your wife, you know, I saved someone. Honey, we've done something. We made $1 million today. I mean, don't keep it a secret. You tell your wife, honey, we're rich. Right? But you don't go down to your friends and tell them, hey, you know what I did today? I made $1 million. Of course, you're scoring points. You see, sharing pleasure is perfectly fine. Share. When people want to share with you. Don't go around telling people it's a beautiful day, it's a wonderful day. If they leave me alone. If you're energizing them, energize them. Like, you know the difference between teaching and boasting, right? I know the answer to this problem. That's boasting. This is the answer. Do you see it? That's teaching. The difference is if you do the right thing to take pleasure in the right thing, then your pleasure is right. If you do the right thing in order to get a different, a side pleasure, then you are selling right for something else. And that is bad. Makes sense. Number 9 is, take the next step and appreciate that all over the world, human beings are dying for causes, suffering for causes, fighting for them, giving up everything. From the PLO, which are next door neighbors, and their cause is to wipe us out, right? Want to die, they give their lives, they're suffering for it, yeah? To the Cambodians, to the Irishmen, to the Falkland Islands, you know, the honor of Britain. That little piece of land for Argentina, our homeland. All over the world. So realize we're no different. We have a cause that we're willing to suffer for, to die for, to give up the beaches of Miami, to give up the Rolls Royce, to give up the comfortable home, to give up, you get it? To give up everything that's heavier. We're the same. Just the cause hasn't called us yet. Realize the cause hasn't called us yet. Perhaps for one of us here, the cause is, if the Arabs invade, do you leave or will you join the army if we need you? Yeah. Will you stay here? Yeah. Well then, friend, the Jewish people is your cause, for whatever reason it is. Yeah. This is a common ingredient in mankind. We rise above ourselves and know that our meaning is in something greater than ourselves. It's a common meaning, it's a common reality of all of us here. So B of this is, find your cause and live for it. It's a different dimension of living. If you're willing to die for the Jewish people, come on. We need you. Live for us. And it's your pleasure. Take the pleasure in it. All right, so number 10 is, understand the reason that people have had all these problems, and your problem, you see, and that is arrogance, living to eat, living to work. We have a body and soul. The body is living to eat. When somebody says, are you living to eat, are you eating to live, we're insulted because we say, what do you take me for, an animal? The point of my life is how many chickens I'm going to demolish. I mean, what an animal. So we identify with our soul. We know we got to do what's right. What is the body interested? Right, wrong, big deal. Yeah? Give me my breakfast. You know, baby, it's got to have to talk. Yeah. Die for humanity, for the Jewish people, for the Falkland. Come on, the body says, what die? Get me out of here. Yeah? It's the soul that's looking for meaning, for eternity. You see that? It's just a struggle between the body and the soul. And the body is insane. Remember, the body is insane. The body is always telling you if you don't sleep another 5 minutes, you're going to be a wreck the whole day. Right? And Martin, is that the way it says? Just 5 minutes more. It's the most important 5 minutes of the whole day. You know, the last 5 minutes is always... the last 5 minutes, if you get up, then it was the last 5 minutes. That were the last 5 minutes, right? You always had the last 5 minutes. But the body is a sugar. It's insane. It comes up with these weird lines. And we buy them. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, so we say, "Hey, shut up," you know. Like when you're jogging and the body says your heart is going to stop. Yeah, you know, when you're jogging, the body says, "Hey, all of a sudden your nerves are freezing on you." Yeah, you say, "What freezing?" You know, where did that come from? So sometimes we're aware of these weird lines, but sometimes we buy them. So realize that's the struggle. We all know meaning for its own sake, the cause. Live for it. The body says, your father must die. Get me out of here. Huh? Tell him to shut up. And you're walking into greatness. Free. Meaning for its own sake. All right. Number 11 is that what is ultimately meaningful? You see, once you understand that that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're dying for, the PLO is dying for meaning. Dying, to die. The Irishmen, Protestant and Catholic, killing each other, they're looking for the right thing to do, for the meaning, for our people, our religion, our communism, whatever it is. Yeah? The cause. Keep the whale alive. So what is ultimately meaningful? We can, objectively, we can identify it. Ultimately meaningful is God. Because without eternity, something, I'm going to college so I can get a degree, so I can get a job, so what? So I can eat, so what? So I can live, so what? So I can, you need an ultimate meaning that goes, that stands on its own. Don't wait, decide, what is your meaning? And start living with it today. In Judaism, you ask, are each of us different? Sure, we're all different. This isn't the Western thing. Everybody, truth is relative. Everything is relative. In Judaism, we say there are things that are relative, and that is, I like vanilla ice cream, you like chocolate ice cream. Big deal. Without oxygen, dead. Spiritually, it's the same thing. One guy likes Beethoven, one guy likes Bach. Big deal. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to love, to be loved, to be successful. Everybody. You don't find anyone. Everybody wants to do the right thing. And everybody needs self-respect or we're dead. And we need meaning or we just collapse. Go into a funk. Now we can find a different illusion. We can stop at a different ladder. You know, one guy is, I got to finish college, I got to get my degree. Because you need a degree. And then he gets his B.A. and he says, what can I do with it? I mean, there's a lot of guys who are in the position. Like, they didn't think a step further. Like, what do you want a degree for? But I got my degree. Now, what the heck do I do with it? Yeah. There are other guys who take it a step further. I want, what kind of a job would I want to have? You know, so he goes and becomes an engineer. Right? Another guy is, I enjoy the work, you know. How far ahead do you look? So we can stop at any point. We use illusions, and the illusions are the same for all of us, except that some of us have learned to throw out some illusions, some the others, and some take it all the way to the end. And we're all capable of doing it, and we all should do it.
So if we do the right thing, that gives us meaning. If you go that step further in saying that, why do we have that? Why do we do the right thing? Meaning is for God?
Meaning is God. There is no meaning without it. But that's something you have to recognize. You see, I'm talking about where we all are at this time. Yeah? I can't assume that everybody who's in this class is going to accept that the meaning is God. I'm telling you, that's my perception. All right, I don't want to get into that. That's one of the proofs of God's existence, our need for meaning. Because if there is no God, then there is no meaning. So why do you need it? Yeah. Okay. Number 12 is that the conclusion that you should have is never, never, you want to be humble and you want to use that strength, never seek material or spiritual pleasure as an end in itself, but tie it up with meaning. That's the conclusion. You see? Never look for the work as an end in itself, as happiness as an end in itself, as marriage as an end in itself, but tie it up where you're going, meaningful. That will last. So don't go to college to get, but tie it up. I need a job. You need a job to eat, to live. To live for what? Tie it up to the end, the real purpose behind it. Yeah? That's the work of humility. Never as an end in itself, but always look for the... Now, when I mean never as an end in itself, you save a man's life, finish. Take pleasure in it. It is meaningful, right? But the reason it's meaningful is because his life is meaningful. So what is his life meaningful? So that he can save someone's life, so that he can save someone's life. We know saving a life is heavy. Finish. We smell it. Meaningful. Take pleasure in that. But you got to keep going. And number 13, and just a few more points. Number 13 is, look, up to here we're talking about high stuff. Now let's talk a little bit about living. And the first is, at least be proud enough not to be petty. Don't be a donkey. People call you names, you know. That's really nothing. That makes you less to react or what people think of you or to give somebody help because he will like you. Be proud enough not to be a kid, not to be petty. That's too much nonsense. Yeah? Grow up. At least that much, you see. Up yourself a little bit. Yeah? But 14 is that appreciate the whole work of a human being in living is to reach for humbleness in action, is to be objective, not subjective. Not into your body, not into eating. He said this, I said that, he's stepping on my shadow, yeah? But objective, what is important? What makes sense? Not subjective, I don't like this, I don't feel like it. But objective, what will work? What is right? What is meaningful? That's the work of living. And that's the power to really solve your problem. So applying it to number 15 is for wisdom. When you hear wisdom, look at it objectively. Don't say, I don't feel like humility. Say, interesting. If it's a good thing to do, fine, we'll do it. If an assignment makes sense, I'm going to do it objectively. See, not subjectively, I don't like this. I don't feel like hearing it. If somebody comes to give you a piece of advice and says, your problem is such, yeah, that's fantastic. Objectively, you're going to tell me what my problem is? Great. But subjectively, you say, you're going to tell me what my problem is? Some nerve, right? I'll tell you what your problem is. Yeah? That's no way to live. You hear wisdom, you hear meaning. Come on, let's go, let's live. What's right? What makes sense? So, be of this is, whenever you hear a piece of wisdom, strive for objectivity. Should you have the evidence as to whether the Torah was given on Sinai or not before you make a decision? I don't feel like listening to evidence. Now, come on, should you or shouldn't you? What is right? Right. If you haven't heard the evidence, should you listen? Right? Objectively, we see it. Yeah. So when somebody is speaking to you, look at it objectively, whether or not you're going to do it. Look at your perception, what makes sense, and then strive to live with what is right. But that takes more. That takes more of an effort. But at least wisdom, hear it on an objective level. All right. Number 16 is that in applying wisdom, if you want to know how to apply, once you've bought something, look at the next guy. What should he do about it? If happiness is an obligation, let's say that you took that one as a piece of wisdom that you bought. Happiness is up to us. We can do it. Makes sense. If you look at what you have and you appreciate what you have, you take pleasure in life, gives you energy, it's a good thing to do. Okay. We decide. Now, in order to know what to do about it, so take a look at that guy. Mm. What should Moshe do about it? Come on, let's give Moshe advice. Yeah? What should he do about it? What do you say? You're going to give him advice? Well, work at it, Moshe, because, you know, you'll get a lot of energy, right? How should he work at it? Well, do the assignments, right? How much time? Oh, you do it for 30 days. I mean, what do you got to lose, right? How about you? No. No. The other guy would give him great advice. Yeah? Sure, go stand a week in the yeshiva, you know. Live a little, right? Why don't you try it out? Sure, you should consider the evidence. We're ready to give everybody all kind of good advice, yeah? When it gets back to us, wow, what did I say, yeah? But that's a good way of living. When you take a piece of wisdom, what should the other guy do about it? Look at it calmly, objectively. And then you have an idea of how really, if you were sane, if you were humble, how you would live this life, the power in it. The power of doing what's right because it's right, and the heck with the consequences. Am I making sense?
Mark? I don't understand what wisdom is.
Wisdom is the knowledge of living. Up until you have a roof over your head and food in your mouth and clothing on your back, that's glorified plumbing. You see? Physics, that has nothing to do with living. But once you've got the food in your mouth, you're satisfied. Now, what is life about? What is pleasure? What's the greatest pleasure in life? Why do I want to be good? What is good? What is living about? That's wisdom. The knowledge of that is wisdom. Okay, so number 17, right? When you're involved in a heavy scene, you're fighting with your parents, you know, the bad vibes. Bad vibes, or with your friends, or with your girlfriend, or with your wife when you have one, yeah? Right? And God forbid, you want to get a divorce, God forbid, right? So ask yourself, what should Moshe do about it? You follow? What should Moshe do if his parents tell him that he's a blooming idiot, nothing will ever come of him, and he's wasting his life, and he's a wreck, and he's... What should he do about it? Well, he's got to respect his parents. He shouldn't take it to heart. If something bothering them, he should figure out what's bothering them. He should reassure them. I mean, we have all kind of advice, yeah? For Joe. But when we're involved, kill him! Yeah? So when you get into a heavy scene, step out. Give it to someone else, because then we can see what's right objectively, without our subjective, our body getting into the act and roiling it up and making insane monsters out of us. We lose our grip on reality. All right, look, why do we need humility? Because, my friend, we've got a soul, we've got a body, and we can be insane. Humility turns us into, we are nothing, we know what we really want is meaning, we're out to make this world, our lives, purposeful, sensible, pleasurable, and we are free from our feelings. Humility is freedom. If you're nothing, if all that counts is beauty, is truth, is accomplishment, you're free to get it and to enjoy it. As long as you're tied up with what do people think of me and how am I doing, you can't function. You can't move. Now, as far as an assignment is concerned, so I would suggest, you see, that take a piece of wisdom that you've bought. It makes sense. Let's say it's awe, right? And take a nice guy over here that you like. You don't have to talk to him, but write him a note. You don't have to deliver it. Yeah? What should he do about it? Take a piece of wisdom that you've passed on as valid. Happiness is an obligation. Should constantly study. Yeah? Should live for the Jewish people. You should, whatever it is, right? Then take a nice guy that you like him, yeah? And pretend that he asks you and write him instructions. This is what you should do about it for the next 30 days. Yeah? And then think, maybe you ought to try it. And thank you.